You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
All things without murmurings or disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I may not have run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. Indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more careful, when you see him again you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, supply your lack of service toward me. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in and whose name we pray. Amen. Father God, as much as we can now, we desire to acknowledge your faithfulness and this privilege. And therefore, recognizing it, we have a need at this hour for your energy from on high. We look to you to supply that as you cleanse us and sanctify us, a people now to yourself. Give us a special blessing today, Father, because we thank you for attending to everything in your grace, because we pray it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Quickly now, let's think what we've covered so far. We learned that Paul wrote this letter to the people at Philippi, lest they become discouraged. Keep in mind now, he is in jail. Has been in jail some 2 years. We learned in the first chapter he had been removed to the Praetorium guardhouse. That meant that he would soon appear before Caesar to have the question of whether life or death would be his. And the Philippians were very dear to his heart, inasmuch as they were the first converts in Europe. They were the only ones whom Paul would even take an offering from. They sent him physical things wherever he went. But for 2 years now, he had not heard from him. The word had gotten to Philippi, though, by this time, he was in jail. He assures him that this is not a hindrance to the gospel. In fact, it's an advantage, because now many people who were, prior to this, were rather timid, and since he's in jail, they have taken the word on. As to his trial before Caesar, he wants them to know that whether in life or in death, that the Lord would be honored. That as far as he was concerned, he was in actually a dilemma. Because if he only had his own self to consider, his own choice to make, he would rather be let loose from above and to go to the Lord, which was far better. In fact, he called it a gain. Now, those thoughts in mind, he reminds us in chapter 2 that Christ is to, we are to begin to think like he does. chapter 2, verse 5. And then we're told that as a result of his thinking in this humiliating way, he became a man. He died on the tree, not only for my sins, but also for the sin in Adam. So that now I have nothing to fear, because I have salvation and the promise of God that I'm complete, and will yet one day see him face to face, as the song sang this morning. And therefore, coming to the lesson today, verse 12, beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't work something out that you don't have in you. So he is telling them at the outset that even though he's not there, they're to continue to work out their own salvation. And he reminds them of the reasonableness of this because of verse 13. Because God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now these words, work, are energy. If you move back to Ephesians just for a second, we're told in the first chapter, in Paul's prayer there, amongst three things that Paul prayed about, their eyes might be enlightened, and the third thing had to do with verse 19, with the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the energy of his mighty power, which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now that's one source of energy. And then in chapter 2 and verse 2, he speaks about the past, the time when we walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now energizes in children of disobedience. Coming back now to Philippians, he says, work out, energize from within, notice, because it is God in within in verse 13, who's energizing you both to will to do of his good pleasure. In Ephesians 4:23, you might just write this down, we're told to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're also told in Ephesians chapter 5 that the way that the spirit of our mind is renewed is by the washing of the water of the Word. Since there are these two energetic forces in the world, what he is saying in effect is that there's a battle going on. And of course, in Ephesians 6, he tells about that battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That battle is being energized from one of two sources in your life right now as you sit in the pulpit, the place that you're sitting in. There's two energies at work. One is from the prince of the power of the air. The other is that which is within you that you're to work out, because God wants to energize you to that end. Therefore, it is necessary that our minds be renewed in the spirit by the washing of the water of the Word. Now, the Bible says that out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. We know that the heart is a pump, and it pumps blood to the brain. And that brain is where all the knowledge is stored that we learn is put up here. That's a computer that has to be fed. So there's a battle going on for your mind. It's coming from the energy of the prince of the power of the air, or it's coming from God himself. And the life of the flesh, remember, is in where? In the blood. It's being pumped. Consequently, the means of reaching the brain is from the eye source, from the ear source, from the smell source, from the taste source, and from the feel source. Those are the five senses that you are equipped with to take things into the mind with. Now, the heart is the vehicle that does the pumping. It pumps that blood where life is. Notice the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. It pumps to the brain so that these five senses can be active. This is why when people become old, sometimes begin to forget things, because that pump's not getting the proper amount of blood up there. Now, everywhere you turn in life, you're being brainwashed by one of those two sources. Think about that. Everything you read, everything you see, everything you hear, everything you taste, everything you smell, everything you feel is feeding something into that computer. It's the admonition. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. That brainwashing procedure goes on constant. Think about that, because if the Word of God is not washing your brains, you do not have a spirit of discernment to see the differences between the two energies. Hence Paul's admonition. Even though I'm not present, beloved, he said, work out these things. Begin to discern. How? Well, remember that God is working in you to fulfill His good purpose. And how does He work? By the renewing of the mind. How? By the washing of the water of the Word. You see how necessary it is then, if we're to be comfortable. You remember that in Paul's prayer in Ephesians, one of the things that he prayed for the saints was that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. And that word dwell means to feel perfectly at home, feel comfortable with you. But when you are energized of another spirit rather than His spirit, I don't think He feels perfectly at home. Because of who He is, and because of His promise, He's not going to leave. But it's a very uncomfortable feeling. And you begin to feel uncomfortable too. This will tell you why you have those times of great depression. Because you're not comfortable. You're uncomfortable. This is why when you have the mind constantly renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, you're able to discern these things. Once you understand this, then you realize the importance of confessing to God this lack on your part, realizing at the same time that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing. And not worried about that. He reminds you of that. But nevertheless, in order for you to be comfortable with it, there has to be an agreement with your mind and the mind of God. This is the process that goes on every day. This is why we must continue to grow in the knowledge and the grace of God. Because the minute we stop growing, the minute we feel like, well, after all, I know the division of Scripture. I know where grace began in our life at the close of Acts, where God is set aside and He's just dealing grace only. I got nothing to worry about. I know that the mystery has said that I've been raised and seated again in the far above heavens. I know that He's declared that I shall behold Him without blame before Him. I know that these blessings are all in the past tense. Not a matter of going to happen. God has already said they have happened. I know all these things, but I don't enjoy them. Why? Because I'm not constantly being fed by the washing of the water of the Word. The mind is the thing, you see, that the two great forces from heaven and the pit are after. If it can hold your mind, you no longer will be a bright living testimony for Him. So it's important, you see, what Paul is saying here. Work out that which God has put in there, because God's at work. Just begin to acknowledge that. And you can't acknowledge it unless you have the mind renewed every day. When you feed upon the Word of God, It's just like when you feed with physical food. It furnishes what? The biological life that you need. When you feed upon the spiritual food, what does it provide? It provides the spiritual strength that you need. The ability to discern so that you know what you're doing. You're not going around. See, he that abideth in darkness, see, is something wrong. If he's saying, because we're told to walk in the light as he's in the light. When we walk in the light as he's in the light, we see in him all his perfection. We see in us just the opposite. But we have the brainwashing come to our mind in a hurry. That we've died and our life is hid with Christ in God. And so that what we see in him is what we really are in the ages to come. See, this is the discernment that's needed. Not only does he say, do this, but notice, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And you don't keep complaining. I had a poor old lady call me one home on the telephone. She'd called once down before. And she thought she was going to go to hell and all this. But she immediately began to sit in and complain about all her troubles. She says, you know, I can't hardly get around. Had to get around in a wheelchair more or less. I got arthritis so bad. And nobody come to see me. And she just listed out a whole host of things, you know. And she, because of those conditions, she had lost the joy of her salvation, thought she was on the way to hell, even though she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the efficacy of his work. The poor soul. She's complaining, that's all she did. I said, lady, when people come to visit you, don't tell them all your problems. Tell them that you're a child of God and that God's going to work out these problems. And to pray for her, that's all. And she hadn't called me back. I don't know what's happened. But what I'm saying is that our problems are our own creation. We don't think they are, but they are. I remember a song we used to sing, not my brother nor my sister that stands in need of prayer, but it's me, O Lord, and it's me every time. You see, notice that for 13th verse. God's working in you to perform what? Your fun? Your good pleasure? No, he's not working that way. He's working for his own good pleasure. And when you learn that lesson, it starts with, and there's no use murmuring to complain about it. You remember what the children of Israel did all for 40 years through the wilderness. They went in there and he gave them angels' food, manna from heaven. And at first, that's wonderful. It tastes like honey and everything. After a little while, we miss all the garlics and the onions of Egypt. No fresh meat, you know. God gave them meat to just run out their ears. They got sick of that, you know, and they complained. Water, you know, and of course, that's no. It's like one thing ever, they complained. Why? They weren't enjoying the presence of God, and he was with them right over the tabernacle all the time. But he's closer to us than that. He's living in us. He's working in us for his good pleasure. Don't complain about it. If you ache in pain, say, Lord, give me the grace to take this pain. I noticed one of the ladies telling me this morning about a toe she's having. And she's having a problem. But the Lord can take care of that. I used to hate to go to the dentist. But I found out, and I go there, and it's going to hurt. I said, Lord, you got to take care of that pain. I can't be a sissy here. I got to take this thing. And you know, the pain doesn't hurt. It's amazing. Probably hurts you now. Anyhow, you're to be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. If that was a crooked and a perverse generation back there, I tell you, Paul ought to see what's going on now. I guess it hasn't changed much. But you notice, we are to be shine as lights in this world system. Notice that last clause. How dark is our light? That's the point. You see? We're to be the Otherwise, God has no other light down here for people to see. You're it. We even forgot to set our clocks up some of them this morning. You can see this. As a light holder, we're to hold forth the word of life. We're the only ones that have it. The deposit is with us. That's what Paul said. That good deposit. Keep. See? We're to keep it. We're to hold it forth. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You guys get busy. Otherwise, my work here is of no good. Paul's work is no benefit either, see? Paul said, if I'm offered up on the sacrifice, service of your faith, I take joy in that. I rejoice. In other words, if I got to die here for the name of Christ on your behalf, don't worry about that, you Philippians. I count it a privilege. I was reading one of the early church fathers, Irenaeus by name. He was an old man, about almost 90 years old. And he was sentenced to death. And he had the Christians, everybody loved this man, something fierce. And so he heard by way of the rumor out that they were going to rescue him. So he sent word back to him from the prison. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, man, don't do that. You're going to rob me of the glory of dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that, please. See? So this is the thing. Paul said, if I'm sacrificed, don't worry about it. I said in the first chapter, he said, I'm in a dilemma about this matter anyhow. If it's choice are left up to me, I'd rather go on, be let loose from above to be with him. Don't worry about that. He said, for this cause, you joy and rejoice with me that I have this opportunity here. Now, it's taking the concern off of himself. He said, I'm concerned about you, and I want to know what's going on over there in Philippi. And said, I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly to you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state or your welfare. He said, don't be worried about me. He said, I'm concerned about you. And I'm going to send Timothy over there to get the first-hand news. You just inquired about what was going on up here at Rome. You didn't tell me about anything going on down there. I want to know what that is. And he said, I remind you that this man here will really come to see what the need is. He said, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that is Timothy, that as a son of the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. In other words, Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, all right. But he was a faithful son. He did everything that Paul wanted done. He never had to ask Timothy anything. He just did it. I know what it is to have somebody help. I remember just yesterday, I've been having a frog in my throat. I still got it, but it don't bother me very often. But yesterday, in the broadcast, it got to tickling, and I swung. I couldn't talk at all. Tommy was right there, could just take it right in, and he did. And it's marvelous when you have somebody can pick up what you're saying and carry it right on and don't have to worry about it. And I think Timothy was that sort of fella. Paul said, you don't have to worry about him. You know how he is. He said, I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it go with me. He said, I'm waiting for the final decision, and I'll send him right on over there after that. Now, he knew evidently that they were concerned about a brother from Philippi named Epaphroditus, because it was Epaphroditus who had brought the offering that Paul refers to in the chapter 4. And administered to Paul in the prison there. But in his travel, he evidently contracted some kind of a disease and was sick. And it was a long sickness. It was not something that was short-lived. In the meantime, the word had got back to Philippi that he was sick. Evidently, it was mentioned in the letter that was addressed to Paul that he's now answering. He said, I know that you worried about Epaphroditus because of his ailments and sickness. But don't want you to worry anymore. I was worried too, he said. But God had mercy and spared his life. Can you imagine Paul taking that attitude in the book of Acts? He healed Epaphroditus in a second. This was a faithful brother too, one that he would have been anxious to do something about. He describes the character of the man, notice. I suppose it's necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion laborer, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you'd heard that he had been sick. Indeed, he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me too. In other words, if he had taken Epaphroditus, it would have really been a blow to me at this time, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful, because for the work of Christ, he was near to death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. See, they had lacked an opportunity, and for 2 years they had not been in contact with Paul. This man had made the contact and been faithful, and now he was almost at death's door. And Paul felt that, well, if he dies here, they'll not understand why I wasn't able to heal him. See, they didn't know they didn't know anything about the mystery yet. This letter was to confirm it, see. Because when he was in Philippi, there was no problem. Anybody that got sick, Paul was taking care of it. They're worried because they heard that Epaphroditus was sick, nigh unto death. Why didn't Paul do something about it? See? There's a lot of questions, you see, coming to their mind at this point in time. This is their first break of light since Paul's in prison, to these people at Philippi. Lord willing, I hope to be there in about a little over 2 weeks in Philippi. Pray for me, because that's one place I've never been, and I want to go there, and particularly go down to the little river that runs by that old location where Paul met Lydia and that crowd down there, and they had a prayer meeting on the river. You remember? It'll just be like almost like a trip home. And I've never been there. And there's no city there. The city's been wiped out. Although I'm told that the jail where Paul was is still standing. Imagine wipe out all those great buildings and leave the jail there. That's a testimony, see. But anyhow, that's something to look for. This is the thinking, you see, that's going in. It wants you to get into this mood of this letter, because it's such a personal thing. It gets down on levels that we understand. He said, don't worry about it. The fact I'm not there, that has nothing to do with it. God's at work in you. He's energizing you. Learn to discern between the energy from above and the energy that you're captured with constantly. What was said to them is certainly apropos to us. Time's about gone, so we're going to stop there. Pick it up there in chapter 3 next week. We'll break in with a new thought anyhow. But to me, this lesson today is one of the most important factors in our Christian walk while we're here that I know of anywhere in the Bible. Because he gets right down to the heart of the nitty-gritty things of problems of life, realizing that the salvation we have is to be worked out by the energy of the Holy Spirit to the good pleasure of God the Father, and that is by the renewing of our mind constantly, by the washing of the water of the Word, in order that one day we will stand before him faithful to these truths. Father God, thank you again for the fellowship of your great Son that you called us into. for the sending of the Holy Spirit to guide us into these things, into all truth. May he now do the office work in our hearts and our minds, that we may be comforted in his work and encouraged to growth in the things that are eternal. Thank you for tending to each little thing in every heart need here. And this grace, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.